Father, we love you. We praise you. We honor you tonight. We just are so thankful, Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And today we just recognize your perfection. We recognize your goodness. We recognize the gift of God that has been given to all of us. You've given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's done, and we praise you for it. We thank you, Father, that we can rest in what you've done. We don't have to come as those that are trying to get our God's attention. Mm-hmm. We just come in the name of Jesus, and we have undivided attention with you at all times. We know that. We recognize it. We know, Lord, that everything that you have given to us is good. It's for our edification and for building us up, and also for enabling us, the grace that enables us to bless and be a blessing to other people. We thank you for that, Father. And tonight, as we open up your word, we thank you that your word will feed us, mm-hmm. that it will guide us, that it will show us something about Nebuchadnezzar that pertains to us, that we'll recognize mm-hmm. through this teaching and this understanding of the things of the end of days, what is going to happen in our midst. And Lord, we'll understand how we must face it and how we must stand in it, and the things that you're going to do through us in the midst of all the things that people talk about in trouble terms. We're going to see them in glory terms, and we Amen. Praise you for it. We thank you for it tonight. We bless you, and we open the eyes of our heart right now. We thank you that you enable the eyes of our heart to be opened up, and we choose to be open-eyed and open-eared to hear and to see those things that you have for us tonight. Give us revelation knowledge in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are looking at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, and it's almost like reading Nebuchadnezzar's diary. He starts out, and it doesn't say, "Dear diary." In fact, you're going to notice something about, just for fun, count the pronouns and see what they are as we go through the first part of this. We've got about 34 verses. I will tell you that if you're reading other than a Hebrew translation, we're going to be beginning on verse 4 of chapter 4. We've already finished the first 4 verses in the other translations. So we'll read, why don't each of you read about 8 verses, starting with you, Henrietta, and I'll finish up with the last 2. Or John can finish up the last. John, but we'll read 8 at a time. How's that?
Okay. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth.
So my turn? Okay. Anyway, where am I? Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a Holy One, a messenger, come down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be trenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass by for him. The decision is announced by messengers. The Holy Ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in the kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top reaching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your Majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your Majesty saw a Holy One, a messenger, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze. I almost said brass. It says bronze. In the grass of the field. While its roots remain in the ground, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until seven times pass by for him.
This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my own mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives them to whomever he chooses.
The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and all his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase.
Amen. So, did you count the pronouns?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice the pronouns? A lot of personal pronouns. What were most of the personal pronouns?
I was lying in my bed. I was walking in the palace. I saw this and I saw it. Yeah.
Might be you might say, well, that would kind of be something that might happen to kings, right? They might get to thinking about the royal I, you know, the royal me, you know, it's me, and all that's mine.
There are 23, starting with verse 4 through verse 10.
23 of those references to himself.
Yes.
Which, you know, I mean, anybody telling a story is going to talk about them some, but it does seem overdone a bit, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, like in verse 4, he could have said, and flourishing in the palace.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, here again, language construct and stuff like that, we don't quite understand, but it seems like there may be an early symptom. And remember now, we're looking backwards, and we've seen that Nebuchadnezzar had this. Let's see who it is. It's Kathleen. You want to go talk to her for a second, see what she's up to?
Hello. I'm here.
I almost forgot where the line of my thought.
It makes sense when you hear that shofar sound.
Yeah, shofar. That's a good sound, you know. I get that sometimes when I'm standing in businesses, and I'll tell people, you know, Jesus is coming soon.
That's good.
I said one time to in a hotel checking in, I said, Jesus is coming. And the girl that was checking me in says, I want to go home. So anyhow. He's the king. It's all about him. He's thinking about him, but we know that there's a problem that has arisen. And I guess what I was going to do was take us back through and say he had seen the first vision, which Daniel came and by the Holy Spirit interpreted to him, and he said, "See this head of gold? That's you. That's your kingdom."
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes down silver and copper and iron and clay. And we talked about it last week a little bit that the next thing we see him doing in chapter 3 is building an all gold statue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Probably perhaps based upon what he had already seen. Except it's all gold now. What would be your thought that he might be saying?
Well, I'm going to get rid of the clay and the other parts that weren't so great. If it's all gold and I was the gold part and Babylon was the gold part, then maybe Babylon will last forever if I make it all gold.
That's right. And what is one of the sayings that is said often? We read it in the Bible. We reread it in other places. We hear about it when someone addresses a great king. What do they say?
Old king.
O King Nebuchadnezzar, live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a talking about the kingdom that lasts forever. And it seems like, you know, he might have been thinking along that line. I'll build this thing. This will establish my kingdom. You know, we'll get rid of the shoulders and the stuff that's silver. We'll get rid of the waist and the hips that are copper. And we'll come right now in the leg that's iron, and we'll make everything gold, because it'll last. It'll last. What were you going to say?
And it's an interesting thing, because he knew, right? Daniel came up, and he goes, okay, not only do I have the interpretation, but I know the dream, too.
Right.
He saw the power of God.
Right.
And so the dream, the interpretation, and really the heart matter comes down of, God, you may be saying this, but watch what I'm going to do.
Right.
It's rebellion against the Most High God.
Rebellion. It's back to that same Nimrod,
Babel. Thing, yes.
That's right. We're going right back again. Even though it was certain in the interpretation that there's a stone coming that's not hewn with human hands, that's going to turn this whole thing into chaff. Gold, silver, copper, iron, and clay. It's all going to be like clay. It's all going to be turned to dust. And nevertheless, you know, we see him come up with this statue, and not only come up with a statue, but put a demand on man that they have to worship.
So I was going to say, when you said that, O King, live forever, that what that is a earthly counterfeit, and I'm being kind by saying earthly, counterfeit of the real truth, which is that the King of Kings really will live forever.
That's right.
And so, you know, when we have this in chapter 3, that there is the command to worship this image, that also is a counterfeit. And I'm going to be less kind and say that we know where that counterfeit comes from, because Hasatan at the beginning wanted to himself be like the Most High. But when Messiah comes, everyone will worship him. Amen. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord.
That's right. That's good.
And it's no different than what's going on today.
No.
He had many gods.
That's right.
I mean, if you look in chapter 4, what does he call? He calls Daniel's God the Holy God.
Yeah, the Holy God. But
because of their lifestyle, what he saw in them, you know, stood apart. It was probably more fun to get drunk and worship the other ones, right? You know, okay. And these guys come up with an answer once in a while, but he continually calls them the Holy God.
Yeah.
And I think that was set up. He recognized it, but he wanted it to be, he wanted to gather knowledge. He wanted to gather wisdom, whether it was architects or all the stuff he built and all that stuff from all over the world. And that's where we're at today. We got to recognize everybody in the world. It's a small world after all, you know, especially with computers.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we have to include all these people. We have to include all their knowledge. There can't be one God. There's too many people that say otherwise. Right. You know, there can't be just, and we have to encompass all their ways of worship and, you know, their freedom to, and it's true, you know, we do have to respect that, but we know there's only one God.
That's right.
And that's where he's going here.
That's right.
You don't find out there's only one God, bud. You know, no matter what you build, no matter what knowledge you gather from all over the earth. And that's what he was doing with the Hebrew children. And I'm sure he had guys from, you know, smart guys from other kingdoms in too.
Yeah.
And gathered them all around him.
That's right. That's right. Well, Nebuchadnezzar himself was a Chaldean, a Chazdim. He was one of these from this extremely intellectual group, extremely in the earth. They were, you know, they had established some really the telling of time and things like that were things that they knew how to do, and they used the stars not to tell the future, but to they recognized the regulation that was there. But isn't it interesting that after Nebuchadnezzar going through the first dream? You remember the first dream? What did he do? He called everybody in. He challenged them to, if they were going to interpret the dream, they had to tell the dream.
Tell the dream, yeah.
And so here he is now having another dream. And what does he do? I mean, listen, if I had one man that had proved himself sure and a prophet of God, and he had given me the right answer, I'm sorry, you know, you magicians and sorcerers and wizards and all of that group, I'm not even going to call you next time. But you know what I see was rebellion in that too. He kind of wanted his gods. Remember what he called Daniel? Belteshazzar. What does Bel mean? Well, Bel's the name of one of his gods. Shazzar means God. That's what it means. Shazzar. And so he's calling, and he would really like for some of these other gods to be able to produce too. But he gets done and he still can't do it. And by the way, I just saw what you were saying there, that Satan says, I will ascend up in the mm-hmm. sides of the north, and I will become as God. And God says, the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
And see, I see with him calling all the other people in too, it's not any different than what we see going on today. Well, we have X. Well, what does X mean? Well, I'll look it up on the internet,
yeah.
and I'll go here, and I'll talk to this person,
right.
and I'll talk to that person.
That's right.
And it's because you want that knowledge.
That's right.
And then you get to pick and choose.
That's right.
Which answer
the one I like is the
want.
One I
right.
will take.
Yes.
That's right. People do that with their doctors.
Yes.
They go until they get the report they want to hear from doctors.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of these holistic health methods that are going on. You know, some of them undoubtedly have validity to them. I'm not saying they don't have validity, but the point is, where do you go first?
Jesus.
And that's what Paul said, you know, later on. He said, I will that men pray first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, people make a big deal about who he says to pray for, but what he says is, the first thing you need to do is pray. Pray to Yahweh, through Jesus Christ, through the Son. That's what you do first of all. And then you pray for all men. Then you pray for kings and those that are in authority. But the point is, you know, that's the first thing we do. And the first thing that most of us do, society does, is we look to everything else first. And then we say,
we weigh the
We've tried everything. There's nothing left. We can't do anything, but there's nothing we can do but pray now.
Pray, I know. That's
haven't
right.
you heard that from people?
Oh, yeah.
And
that's all we can do is pray.
Has it come to that? It must be hopeless if we have to pray.
Well, plus, I don't think Nebuchadnezzar, he probably didn't really groove on the first interpretation anyway. You know,
not too like, much, right.
You know, yeah, that didn't work out so good. I fell down. My feet broke. You know, and then I turned to dust and everything. So maybe okay, well,
maybe
these other
understand.
Gods are more fun because I get a drink and have orgies and stuff. So I'm gonna call these guys first.
There you go.
And maybe they'll tell me something I want to hear.
And that was the way the prophets used to be done, even by the kings of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They would call in prophets that would speak favorably. And you may remember the time that one of the kings of Judah was working with the king of Israel, and they said, well, call for the prophets and let's find out what the Lord says about this. And he calls in and he says, no, I want a prophet of the Lord in here. I don't want the prophet of Baal. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, but that guy never speaks anything good concerning
like
me.
He's going to say something holy. For
right.
Yeah. Holy God, as he calls him here.
That's right.
He's going to say something that's holy and, you know, I don't want to hear it.
Yep. Yep.
There might also be another issue here. I don't know if it has arisen yet. It would have arisen during the time of the Medes and Persians. He might have called these different people because he was expected to call these different people.
And that is probably true, too. You know, there were certain protocols that went along with the kingdom, and you brought people in, you made alliances with them, you married their daughters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to give them equal time. And that could be. That could be exactly right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's what we're doing today when we have this culture of tolerance, which I bless Hashem for tolerance because tolerance can be a good thing. But we have this culture of tolerance that says call the prophets of Baal just as much as you call the prophets of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our culture of tolerance, of course, we can't say that the enemy of Christ is less desirable to call upon than Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
We have to include everyone, brother.
But anymore now, let's be honest about this now. You know, the tolerance ends and we say, but don't go saying that name Christ in public.
Right.
Because that could be offensive to some of these other people who we are allowing to freely matriculate
right.
in our midst, and they can do their thing. You know, they can even try to bring Sharia law to Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Good luck. I don't know about
but the right. point is, there's, you know, tolerance ends when it comes to Christianity, and it really has. And it's we're seeing it more and more and more. Henrietta and I just happened to come upon a Jewish rabbi the other day. He sounded like another Texan, but he was talking about getting out of the United States of America. He had seen a prophecy that it's time to leave the U.S. because just to say the name of the Messiah would be enough to get you jailed. And now, you know, he's talking prophetically that the day is coming, but he's calling, make aliyah. Yes. Get out of here. Have move to a higher land. Now, we're not, you know.
It's the world. Where do
right.
you go?
Where do you go? Jew, that's right.
You can't go to Israel.
That's right. They're not going to accept you there, especially when you go in talking the name of Yeshua. You know, that's not gonna play well either.
Which gives you a vision of what we're reading here. Nebuchadnezzar was the rule.
Mm-hmm.
He was
right.
everything. Mm-hmm. And it's the Antichrist.
That's right.
And we are coming into
that
time.
That's right.
Where there is nowhere to go.
That's right.
And it's you stand and you know whom you believe and you are persuaded that he's able.
That's right. That's right. And we've talked about this too, that God had seen this man and seen that that's what Hasatan was mm-hmm. trying to do with him. Same thing he did with Yeshua, by the way.
Yeah.
And Hasatan fell for it, you know. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar fell for Hasatan's line, except that God keeps reaching to him, mm-hmm. keeps mm-hmm. reaching to him mm-hmm. and giving him dreams. Now, there's a man coming that apparently will, and I have no doubt that God's going to reach out to him too.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a man coming who will fulfill the scripture and who will take the full place. But right now we see him as that anti-Christian, anti-anointing man, and yet God loves him.
Mm-hmm.
God loves him. In fact, let's look at something just a second here because, well, let's look at it a little bit later. Let's not look at it right now. Let's take it a little bit later. But let's look at Proverbs 16:18 and see if you can see the danger here, but not only the danger, not only what is appropriate, but the fact that, you know, this is where it is with all of us, you know.
Yeah.
Whoever gets that, just go ahead and read it.
Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall.
Anybody have anything different in that? Pride goes before destruction?
I've heard it different.
Have you heard it?
Pride goeth before a fall.
Right. And that's the general way that people say it, because we just kind of put it all together. The complete Jewish says pride goes before destruction and arrogance before failure. See that in Nebuchadnezzar at all there?
Yeah.
Was he a proud man? In fact, when we get clear over to verse 30, you know, he's gone a year after the warning. And I think he says, you know, that didn't come to pass at all. You know?
Yep.
A year was a long time, right? He mm-hmm. went 12 months. Nothing happened. And he makes that same I, look what I built.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been playing by the rules for that 12 months.
I kind of think he was. That's what Daniel had instructed him to do, wasn't it? Play
right.
by the rules. Give to the poor. Show righteousness. But suddenly he looks around and he sees it again. And by the way, I guess what he had there was an amazing city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've heard anything about the ancient city of Babylon, you know, the walls of it were wide enough to have chariot races mm-hmm. on top of it. The building of it it makes a pyramid look rather foolish, you know. I mean, what's a pyramid? It's a grave. You know, this was a place to live.
Yeah.
And security, talk about security. You know, it was said that it was totally impenetrable, and it was until the Medes and the Persians came by way of the Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're dealing with a you know, if you looked at it, have you ever looked at something that man has built and said, man, that's just, you know, that's just amazing. You know, we look at some of these structures that people build, and they just, you know, they incite a certain awe in us. And here, he's built it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you that there are those who teach that he had a gene of insanity. that he was insane from the beginning. And, you know, there may even be, if you read some historians, there may be some reason to believe that. I have found that historians often add what makes sense. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What makes sense to a historian? And if it's the right historian writes it, he's going to take the supernatural out of it completely, mm-hmm. which is what has happened to what our children receive in school about American history anymore. And if you go back and read it the right way, you find out there was a great deal of supernatural mm-hmm. in the beginning of our history, just as there was in Israel's beginning days. The supernatural was there. And we did have some prophetic leaders during the time of the beginnings, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but we don't hear about that anymore. So I say, well, maybe there was something. But, you know, let's look at it the other way. Perhaps what he built was really the result of being above average. Mm-hmm. Possibly genius.
Mm-hmm. He was a Chaldean.
He was a Chaldean, a well-educated man, not only a well-educated man, but a leader,
yeah.
And apparently a fairly benevolent leader. If we read the way Daniel comes to him later on when he's interpreting this, do you see that Daniel's made friends with him?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel mm-hmm. really respects him.
He's upset.
Yeah, it really bothered him to have to tell him, and I think there's something to that, you know. But we see this whole thing coming back again, you know, that even if you are a genius, where did it come from?
It's exactly. From God.
Exactly.
It's a gift of God. It's a
and
gift of God.
And that's what it says. God's the one who puts kings, you know, in kingdoms and takes them down. And I see that even with knowledge and wisdom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. That's right. And that really brings me to that that place in Jeremiah 25:9. Where God talks about Nebuchadnezzar in advance of sending him in. And I thought it was pretty interesting how he refers to him. This is back during the time when Jeremiah is still telling the people that there's going to be a dominion come in and take over Israel for their sins. And in the ninth verse, he tells them, in the eighth verse, you haven't paid attention to me. You haven't paid attention to what I've said. So, verse 9, somebody read that. Jeremiah 25:9.
Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations.
So what does God call Nebuchadrezzar, which is the same as Nebuchadnezzar? He called him what?
Servant.
His eved, yes, his servant. His eved. Which is a servant. And he says, he's my servant, and I'm going to bring him in here to minister for me. And the ministry that he was going to do is he's going to take you out of here. And if you read on down, he says, verse 10 says, moreover, I will silence among them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bridegroom and the bride, the grinding of millstones and the light of lamps. This entire land will become a ruin, a waste, and these nations will serve the king of Babel for 70 years. But when the 70 years are over, I will punish the king of Babel. Who is he punishing? His servant. Why? Because he's, I think he says here, I'll punish the king of Babel and that nation for their sin. For their sin. What's their sin?
Their sin was three things. It was the idolatry and the pride, but it was also that they went too far.
Yeah, they went beyond. That's exactly right. They went beyond what they were sent to do. And they certainly, you know, felt like they could do that because, you know, all... By the way, did you ever notice that every empire, all I think every world empire has claimed deity mm-hmm. as they get to the end of it. Mm-hmm. Every one of them.
The pharaohs, Caesars.
Thought they were emperors of Rome thought they were. I don't know for sure about Alexander, but he sure acted like he thought he was a god, you know. I mean, what was he, 26 or 28 years old when he was doing all this stuff?
23.
Yeah.
And then he died at 33.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, you know, think about it, you know. All of them really thought they would live forever. You know, that was kind of what they came to. And the reason was, you know, everything was just perfect. Everything was great around them, you know. But when it was time for him to go, it was just like Herod. It didn't make any difference. People stood up and said, Herod is speaks with the voice of a god. And well, Herod says, look at me. And the worms ate him from the inside, and he died.
Yeah.
Think of that. That quick.
Hashem appointed a worm in the midst of him.
That's right. That's right. So, what else you see here?
Well, earlier in Jeremiah 17, I was reading this the other day. Cursed is the man who trusts in man.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And departs from the Lord. You're like a bush growing in the wasteland. When prosperity does come, you won't see it. And then it goes on and says, you know, but blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Be like a tree, just like David said, like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We departed. We've trusted in the knowledge of mere man. What were we watching the other day? Something about ancient aliens and how even Moses, the prophets, were all inspired by ancient aliens.
Yep.
Yeah. We're so smart. We know that it's... Why is it so easy to believe in ancient aliens and not in a God, sovereign God?
Yeah.
Why is this so easy to believe that, it must have been ancient aliens? Because I guess somehow we can wrap our minds around that, and we're so much smarter now than we were. And I'm looking at it thinking, this is all based on the premise that we're smarter now. I think we're stupider now.
I believe we are.
I think the engineering feats and things they did back then with the tools they had available to them were far beyond anything.
You.
We can't duplicate some of
you.
It with machines.
And our ability to discern what knowledge means is definitely, I believe, gone downhill. I know it has from Adam. Mm-hmm. I know Adam was... Boy, you could have seen him. You know, he was something else.
And I'm looking at these professors and all these guys they got on there going, really?
Yeah.
You pay this guy probably $500,000 a year to sit here and do this. And it's all based on theory anyway.
Yeah.
And they do kind of the theory of, and then from there on, they talk like it's fact.
Yeah.
Kind of mentioned real quick at the beginning.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, it's all based on fact. And I said, it's all based on the premise that we are smarter and superior now. And I don't really think that we are.
No.
What we are now is more knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. We have found out more stuff, and we have confused...
Stuff. I like that, stuff.
Stuff.
We've confused stuff with virtue.
That's true. That's true.
It was interesting, I was reading about when we were reading about Babylon, and I looked it up. And Babylon, no, Chaldean, that was it. And it goes back to Babel. The words are from the same root,
mm-hmm.
which means what? Confusion.
That's right.
And we look at this and we see this kingdom that is coming up in our time. It's the same kingdom, but it's a worldwide kingdom, and it is confusion.
Mm-hmm. Right? It is. It's confusion.
Oh, absolutely.
It's confusion. And it's confusion, and it has to do with words.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, just because I can understand the meaning of the words you're saying doesn't mean that I understand what you're saying.
Right.
And it certainly doesn't mean that I necessarily agree with what you're saying. But that's kind of the way this thing has gone now, in that people in the abundance of speech, what is called
there
eloquence.
There wanteth not sin.
What's that?
There wanteth not sin.
That's right. In the abundance of words, there wanteth not sin, according to the proverb. And, you know, I see so much of this, you know. And, again, we're coming back to that same old Torah principle, don't mingle. Don't mingle. Mm-hmm. And that's what you've got. You've got a mingling always of the true. And that's what we see with Nebuchadnezzar again here, pulling the Chaldean boys in and all the exorcists and the sorcerers and the necromancers. And, I mean, you know, I think that's a lot of different... subverted stuff that he's bringing together with the prophet of God, you know. Right. It just happens a prophet of God's the only one that can interpret what he's saying, right?
Is this another showdown, like between the prophets of Baal and the one prophet of Hashem? Mm-hmm.
Certainly seems like there's part of it there that way. You see it that way, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing that I keep seeing from 1 to 4 here is that God speaks.
Right.
Right? It's not like he just goes, okay, here we go. You have no idea what's going to happen next. Go on, right? He lets them know. Straight yep. up, here it is. And he's faithful with us also.
That's right.
And I mean, this was one of his servants. This man was not bowing his knee.
Right.
But God was still faithful to say,
that's
okay,
right.
This
and
is
he,
what's coming.
He had favor on him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe mm-hmm. that his opulence came from God. Mm-hmm. Imagine what the man could have done if he had turned the whole kingdom to godliness. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was some of that going on, you know. Daniel apparently recognized the good that was in the man, loved him. But, you know, it's interesting. There was a scripture you were going to bring out tonight. What was it about?
Well, it was about really the same thing we've been talking about. Can't remember where it was for sure. Oh, here it is. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That was Jeremiah 9:23 and 24.
Amen. Amen. And that's what God expects. You know, when he gives us stuff, all he expects is the glory. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Just the glory.
Can you read those three things again? That loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment? Because I'm thinking something, but I don't know.
That is in verse 24, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth.
Yeshua said that he was going to send the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Holiness, and it was going to convict the world of
sin.
And righteousness and judgment.
And judgment in John 16.
That's where it is. And I'm wondering, are we seeing a connection there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're also seeing, like, ourselves in a mirror, because we see God, and he's loving kindness. The Holy Spirit shows us ourselves. And unfortunately, or very fortunately, bless God, we see our sin. But always we see righteousness and judgment. And the good news is that the judgment for us is done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it all fell upon Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Here's what Adonai says, as the way the complete Jewish. The wise man should not boast of his wisdom. The powerful should not boast of his power. The wealthy should not boast of his wealth. Instead, let the boaster boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Adonai, practicing grace, justice, and righteousness in the land. For in these things I take pleasure, says Adonai.
And grace always beats sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. It always beats sin. Amen. It's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. But you see anything else you has in the part we've been looking at?
Where are we?
Well, actually, we've kind of just we kind of just started talking about it from above, you know, and okay. looking down on the whole countryside, and so we didn't really go through it a verse at a time.
Well, I don't know if we're to verse 30 yet.
But, no, but I already mentioned it. Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, that the contrast of this as to what I just read out of Jeremiah, you know, verse 30 says, the king spake mm-hmm. and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Right. So, anyway.
He was literally doing exactly mm-hmm. what Hashem told us not to do.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. Yeah. And interesting, you know, that it took 12 months for him to come to this place, but within the hour, within the hour, you know, we talk about suddenly a lot. Mm-hmm. Suddenly can be good or bad, can't it? Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, the Lord does things on a time schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And was it, you know, whatever cycle in the moon, whatever. So it was a very, very memorable time. And however they, you know, I just, ancient culture kind of intrigues me. So then, was it, that's why it was 1 year later, because, right, we went through all of our festivals and this, and I did this, and I must be doing pretty good.
Yeah,
nothing's happened.
I finally arrived.
Right.
right. I think you're right. I think you're right. And, you know, God is long-suffering concerning his people. Long-suffering. And that's, you know, you see that there too, especially if he made as John said, if he made some changes. He very well may have. You know, he may have well, you know, had, go ahead.
It took him 12 months to forget him, though, again. And what was he doing again? He was walking in the palace again.
That's right.
See, I don't know, the one interpretation I had said, on the roof of my palace.
Right.
So he's walking around looking at everything that I have built, that I have done, that I... And it's like,
here
you were
go.
Told, dude.
Yeah.
He was good for 12 months, and he couldn't stand it anymore. He had to go back to the I, my, me thing.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, bam.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing as when it's... As I was looking at this last week, and it's when Hasatan came and tempted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you all of this, all the kingdom, all of this greatness, this me,
mm-hmm.
if you'll bow. And it's that you see Satan's part in these people's life, and it goes, you know, it happens over and over. And
right.
I believe that that's the same place that we're coming in the end of days. It's my kingdom. And what
for the
I
honor
do.
Of my majesty that mm-hmm. I have built, you know, yeah.
But it's really your heart is to the evil one and not realizing that.
Right. That's right.
And I was thinking when Henrietta was saying, you know, me, myself, you know, I. We see that so blatantly here in all of his accomplishments and everything he had. But another thing that I see in our world today, it's a negative side of that. Oh, my problems, my lack, my debt, my kids. Mm-hmm. It is
my infirmities.
It's still
yes.
greater than God.
That's
it is
right.
Totally yes. greater right. than
yeah.
God, and it's setting ourselves up. As God,
it's a form of self-righteousness.
Yes, even in a horrible negative thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's like John and I were talking, self-righteousness and inferiority are the same demonic spirit. It's just two ends. It's the extreme of both of them.
Right. Yep. That's right. Yep.
Because it puts anything that takes your focus off him.
Mm-hmm. My Father who art in heaven, give me this day. Is it that trust that whatever is going on, it's from you, I trust you. It's our faith again.
Mm-hmm.
It's speaking and it's reestablishing.
calling those things which be not as though they were.
And that's why, you know, what you've been teaching, all those things are finished. It's finished.
Yeah.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's done. And, you know, even as Christians, I'm going to bind the devil. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And, you know, you're binding the devil for this, binding the devil for that. Well, devil don't care.
No.
He's bound.
He's bound.
He's sitting in the chair. Yeah, but he's sitting in the chair laughing because all day long you've been paying attention.
Yeah, that's all you've been doing is giving him
your... You're paying attention to him instead of...
That's right.
Approaching it from that place of authority that says, it's done.
He's tied up over there. Let's go off and do some good works.
Yeah. You know, the focus is still on him, so he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Even if he's bound.
That's right.
You're still tied up with him.
That's right. You talked about the temptation of Yeshua. And, you know, the devil doesn't have any new gimmicks.
No.
He may have some different ways of manifesting the old gimmicks, but they're all the same old things. There's nothing new under the sun. And 1 John 2:16, it talks about that. Actually, maybe looking at the 15th verse first, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," and then he goes through three things, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And I personally believe that those three big temptations that are recorded for us of Yeshua are the three major categories of temptation that the devil uses on all of us. And it has to do with lust. It has to do with the lust. And did you know lust can even be about something being, you know, in a negative sense, you know, like you were talking. Mm-hmm. You know, some people glory in their...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those people you avoid at the grocery store because I don't want to hear about your latest disease.
But I see it even in the church. And it's becoming... It's pressing in.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's the pressing in of the... atmosphere of what's going on in the world.
Yeah,
and it's taking on a very...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just a very negative place in the body of Christ.
Well, he's not going to stop with one little thing. He's going to twist the knife and totally flip-flop the whole deal. I mean, take as many people out as he can. In the day that you eat thereof, you will be like God. And that's kind of the basis of all of it. You'll be like God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just bow to me. All this is going to be yours. Well, one thing, you must have had a good, you know, video communication system to be able to show all the kingdoms of the world at once, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He had some boys in the background, you know, saying, you know. But, you know, and it's all based on that. You'll be like God. Well, you know, show me that you're God. I don't have to show you that I'm God. You know, if you are the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
No, not only am I the Son of God... Last chapter says, "I'm the beloved Son of God."
That's right.
Not just the Son. Mm-hmm. You kind of left the beloved part out, right?
That's right. That's good.
Yeah. And it's all about being God and being in control.
Yeah.
And even the negative side of it is, I'm kind of in control. Yeah, well, I would, but I've got my disease or whatever that
That's
may
right.
be.
That's right.
Or, you know.
Brother Hagin used to tell about the... old lady that came in, and I'm sure it was him that told about it. She came in to do into the testimony service in the church, and she started off on, "Oh, the devil did this last week, and he was doing this week, and he did that, and he did this, and he's been attacking me here, and he's been attacking me there, bless his holy name." She said, he says, people get so attentive to the things of the enemy that they forget about the Lord who saved them, you know, and that's a fact, you know. And this is where, you know, we know that the victory is not promised, it's already ours.
Yeah.
We're coming from the point of victory. We've won.
When there was this storm out on this lake, and these guys saw Yeshua walking towards them. One of the guys was like, "If it's really you, I want to do it too." And he said, "Okay." And so he started walking, and everything was cool until he got his eyes off of Messiah and onto the world.
Yeah.
And so he sunk, but he did the one thing
that we need to do.
That saved him.
Right. Lord,
right.
Save me.
Lord, save me. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeshua. Yeshua. Yeshua.
Exactly.
Yep. That's for sure. Well, it was quite a thing that he went through. If the commentators are right, and I have no reason to believe they're not, they all believe that the seven times is 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't have anything that says it's Shemaim, but seasons it says in mine. Times, I think, is what I heard somebody else's translation say. That's a long time to be living like an animal.
Right.
To be living like an animal. And something that struck me about it was, can you imagine a king being deposed for 7 years and people not just writing him off?
And there wasn't a coup, exactly. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering. What happened? That bam, right after
he... Yeah, usually there's a power vacuum, right?
Yeah, started walking around the palace, declaring himself, and then they kicked him out.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Wait. What raised that? Uh-oh. She has
Daniel.
The answer.
Daniel was...
Prime Minister.
Oh my.
Command.
That's true.
Right.
Daniel
that's true.
Had the vision. Daniel had the Spirit of God
right.
on him. And he
and
had
Daniel knew the end of the dream that said he was coming back.
Right.
Over
which is why they were
else.
Accepted him back.
Not only that, he knew how to exercise in the dominion
wow.
that had been given through
I
the blessing.
Interrupt.
That's good,
that's
though. It
awesome.
Came up.
It like,
there the light
yes,
came on.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's just awesome.
That's yeah.
And I think that's why they didn't mess with Daniel when they threw the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace.
You're probably right.
He's too close.
You're
He's
probably
too close
right.
to the king.
Yeah.
We'll go after his buddies.
Right. We'll get
these. Get him.
He's just a little bit lower down.
Right? Anywhere they would have been doing first.
Yeah.
Place, right?
They'll get Daniel in due time.
That's what they were thinking. Yeah, it's coming up.
So Daniel could count to seven. And he might have been the one who said, okay, go find him now. Because he knew what was he knew exactly, when to do it.
Yep, that's right.
And
just think about that.
Mean? What is the meaning of seven in Hebrew?
Shabbat, rest.
Complete.
Shabbat, rest,
whole.
Complete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And perfection, it also has that. Perfection generally in Scripture means complete, Wow.
Cool. And it reminds me of where we pray, like in Colossians, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, even as we pray for people who don't know the Lord, and we pray that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That their eyes be open, and their understanding, and their ears, that's God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... We see it right here. It was in God's time that all of a sudden there was clarity.
So did Daniel pray for, and he wouldn't know. He was a beast at the time, and afterwards, he was king. But did Daniel pray for Nebuchadnezzar? Was he saying like, okay, Abi, 7 years are up. Make him better now.
Well, he did that with the 70 years.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he did that with the 70. And, when we think about prayer that way, it isn't like him going in every day and getting on his knees and begging out to God, oh, Lord, please.
No.
He didn't have to, did he? Because God had already said, this kingdom is sure. I'm preserving it for Nebuchadnezzar. All he had to do was say, time's up.
Awesome.
Time's up. Let's go get him.
But it's faith. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
He believed.
It was done.
Yeah.
He believed
that's
the
right.
word of God.
That's
and
right.
how wonderful, right? God gives him the dream for him. He gives him the interpretation. And then he sees it all play out. And so that he knew he was hearing from his
that's
father.
Right. That's right. One of the things that really struck me about it is there's two verses here from the time he goes out and begins the 7 years until the 7 years are over.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's really only one verse when you get right down to it. The one verse, 33 in your verse, within the hour the word was fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society, ate grass like an ox, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. When this period was over, you know what I'm wondering about? I just got to thinking about it, you know. It sounds like a terrible time of chastening, but there's no great testimony of the time of torment there, is there? It's just a matter of it happened.
It happened.
I learned. I came to myself. My understanding came back to me. And when it came back, I blessed the Most High.
Yeah.
I praised and gave honor to Him who lives forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you believe when He talks about El Elyon, mm-hmm. the Most High, that He really recognizes Yahweh?
It's the first time He called Him, you know, I recognized Him. Always before it was yeah. Daniel's.
That's right, God. Daniel's right. God.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
now
right.
It's first person here.
Yeah, I think something, and really, you know, we're seeing the end of His reign with this. Mm-hmm. With this, we don't see anything of Him after this. In fact, we don't see anything of His son or His son's son. We don't. I think we're getting into a place where we're seeing the next king that comes along as a great grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and that would be Belshazzar. But you know, listen to what he says. You know, he sounds like a prophet of God here talking, doesn't he?
Yeah.
His kingdom endures through all generations. All who live on the earth are counted as nothing. He does what he wishes with the army of heaven. And with those living on earth, no one can hold back his hand or ask him, "What are you doing?" It was at that moment that my understanding came back to me. And for the sake of the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor also came back to me. My advisors, and that would certainly include Daniel, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. And the Lord sought me out. Did you notice something else about his restoration? There's something that I think you, it's just like God always. In his restoration, what does he say? I was reestablished.
He was added to.
What?
He was added to. Yeah. So it was even added greater to. Than before.
That's right. Like Job's restoration, when Job mm-hmm. received sevenfold, you know.
Nice.
He says, to my previous greatness, and even more was added. Yeah.
Cool.
Anything else you got in there, honey?
No.
Anything in your notes?
Mm-mm.
You sure? Okay. Don't you rob us.
When the tree was hewn down, it was bound with iron and brass.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's good.
Well, Nebuchadnezzar really didn't like the iron or the brass mm-hmm. or the silver for
that
matter.
That's right.
But it was the iron.
It was that held the stone.
Exactly.
That's good. That's good. I looked for that today and I tried to think, what would that, why the iron and the brass? But that's good. That which he was actually, at least I believe, he was trying to declare he didn't believe in that. He was going to do away with that stuff.
Right.
It's the substance that God used to hold him up, to
right.
protect him. That's good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I saw it, was a protection.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody totally uprooted it because it was
right.
going to be restored.
That's right. That's right. Isn't it interesting God uses a tree? A tree to represent a great king. But a tree that was exceedingly tall, you know, a redwood comes to mind perhaps. A great high tree. But I thought that was interesting. And we do know that God talks about men as, you know, that he says he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Right.
It goes back, I think, to the seed thing. Everything
the
grows
seed.
Are seeds.
Mm-hmm.
We are our seeds, basically,
mm-hmm.
sown into this earth,
mm-hmm.
bring forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And wheat, but so many in Old Testament, always trees planted mm-hmm. by the, you know, bear fruit.
That's right.
Unless God Most High comes up to you and says, you're not bearing any fruit. I'm going to cut you down. And then Messiah intercedes for you and says, no, no, I will care for it, and it will bring forth fruits.
This gives it another dimension. Even if it's been nearly destroyed, I'll bring life out of that root again, you know. Yeah. And that's what he does, isn't he? Mm-hmm. That's really, really true, you know. The grace of God is magnificent. And, you know, what we see here is really the, you know, if some man were to come in here and to tell you his testimony, how he had been, you know, in the height of affluence and glory, and perhaps even being used of God. And this happens, you know. And like I say, I think this has got to be taken and looked at from our point of view, you know, and it's easy to lose track. When things go really well, it's especially easy to lose track. And I don't know if you know it or not, but people can be exceedingly cruel to an anointed person. If a person shows anointing, people will put him on a pedestal.
That's very cruel.
And if a person doesn't know how to handle it, you know, people tried to do it to Paul and Silas. They tried to worship them as God. In fact, they even renamed them their God's names, you know, and how they had to handle that, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just rip our clothes up and show you we're nothing but just plain old men here, you know. And Daniel, of course, shows us that kind of thing here when the king wants to put the glory to Daniel. Daniel quickly says, no, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. It's impossible, absolutely impossible for a man to do, but there is a God in heaven. Just like Joseph said, there's a God that can do this. There's a God that knows the future and knows dreams.
And I find it interesting also, what do they call them, watchers?
Watchers, yeah.
Watchers. And that it gave me, I was kind of, you know, midrashing with watchers, mm-hmm. and then they call them holy ones, mm-hmm. but with a small h. And that, do the angels stand and do they watch what is going on, waiting for God then to give them the decree?
I absolutely believe
it. Or we call them as ministering angels, yep. and speak the word so that they have the agenda of what
mm-hmm.
to do,
mm-hmm.
and that they were watchers.
That's right. That's good. And you know, that gives you that picture in heaven about it. The eyes all around. The eyes all around, you know. Some people think that they live a secret life or have secret things, but you know what? You can just forget about that. There's watchers. And they know it. God knows everything, but so do the people he sends to minister for us. Those people, those watchers, those angelic beings.
And that's a good thing.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
A watcher, I can be sleeping
Absolutely.
In a storm, and they're watchers.
That's right.
They're watching.
That's right. Gives his angels charge over
mm-hmm.
you. It's good. Amen. Anything else? Well, it's certainly just it's a story, but the implications are huge, aren't they?
Mm.
Huge. And, you know, if we can always remember to give God the glory, to give him the glory. Do you know, when we give God the glory, he wants us to enter in to that glory. That's the plan. If when we give him the glory, it's his plan that we would enter in and see it and be a part of it. That the glory of God. I want to talk about it a little bit on Sunday. The glory of and how it's going to manifest in us. Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar's issue here was pride,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and yet God lets his story end with him getting the last word.
That's right.
And we see that his last word is giving praise to God.
That's right. That's right.
And because of it, he was greater than he was before.
Before.
Because he spoke what God says.
That's right.
He spoke the truth. And mm-hmm. every place that talks about meditating, muttering, there's a blessing attached to
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, in his law do I delight. I'll be like a tree planted by water. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, Jeremiah said it too. And there's always a blessing that goes with that. Every place it mentions meditation, there's a blessing attached. And it's kind of like, because you're saying what God says. Cool. You know, and I think when he finally did that, he was blessed.
Amen. Amen.
And what I'm saying here is I'm sitting here thinking about this, is that I see Jesus in this story. Right, we see
redemption. Yeah.
Redemption.
That's right.
We see forgiveness. We see restoration, and Nebuchadnezzar had the heart of the Antichrist.
Yeah,
me, myself, and I. You are all right. Going to bow. You are going to give me the glory. Okay, well then we get past that. And, oh yeah, God did a great thing, and here, but my heart is still on the throne, mm-hmm. and so God restores him, you know, yes, a judgment, but he brings him back.
That's right.
And we see Jesus, and it's that story. We're going to see this happen in our lifetime right now, but the one that's rising up is really going to be totally possessed by Hasatan, so there is no bowing. And it's the same thing I saw with the children of Israel and the golden calf, and then we see this here with Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to see it come again.
That's right.
And but this one is not going to bow.
And the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Mm-hmm. But if we don't accept that, and that's what the one you're talking about, the one that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So just an
odd thought. Go ahead.
An odd thought. Whoever the prophet and all of them, God still loves that person.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that is one of those paradigm things that you go, wow.
Yeah.
And he would call.
That's right. Seems like we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, seems like we're going to see him in heaven, you know.
And because of the fact, like what you were saying, if Daniel was in charge, that 7 years, he was in the hands of a godly man. That's why it was greater when he got it back than it was when he left.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Like the 7 years.
Good point.
That just
good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Joseph
right.
In Egypt.
That's right.
Same story.
Egypt became prosperous.
And who knows what it did to preserve the nation of Israel? It's not recorded anything in particular. I mean, with Joseph, obviously, but you know, it may have been something for the children of Israel. The fact that Daniel was in there for that time,
mm-hmm.
and a preservation, so God's plan could go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely.
Well, you know, Daniel, by the time this is all over with, has gotten pretty, well, by the time Belshazzar comes along, he's pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty old, but he's still in a tremendous place of respect. He's the one they call when the writing comes on the wall, because nobody else can do it. And we'll see that next week, but that's, you know, just think of what he got to see in that 70 years' time. He got to see this most flourishing. Until finally, a man takes it and takes the articles of the temple and uses them to serve his gods. And then God turns it over to another man. But guess what? Daniel's still in the right place at the right time and has the Cyrus's ear when it comes time to rebuild and to send the people back. When the days of captivity are over. God's good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you pray, Henrietta?
Father, we just thank you and praise you for the time we've had together here, for the revelation that we've received. And just be with us every part of of tomorrow and on through the next week, Lord, and reveal things unto us, and
yes.
as we yield ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.